On episode 9 of Whiskey Throttle Radio, we'll have Joey Crown on to talk about his season so far racing up in Canada at the Canadian Nationals. He's currently sitting third in points in the 250 class. He raced Southwick not too long ago on his 350, and he'll be racing Spring Creek this weekend. So we talked to him about that and his plans for the last three Canadian Nationals, trying to get that championship locked down. After that, we'll have Mini Ripper Jack Chambers on, talking about his time. He just got back from the MX Master Kids in France, brought home a gold medal for Team USA, and he's currently getting ready for Loretta Lynn's right now. After that, we'll have Michael Akiden on to talk about his new role with the Ty Lube Honda team, driving their motorhome and helping out the team at all the Nationals. And we'll talk to him about being a full-time, working full-time, getting his MBA, and being a professional supercross racer. As always, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts from. Make sure to check out our website, www.whiskeythrottlemedia.com, and like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Enjoy. Right now for episode 9 of Whiskey Throttle Radio is Joey Crown. What's up, man?
Oh, not much. Just actually heading to get some road biking in.
Oh, man. Sounds nice. So for those of you who don't know, Joey Crown's currently racing the Canadian National Series in the 250 class. He's from Michigan, so it's always cool to have some Americans up there racing. How's that been going for you so far?
It's been going all right. Been on the podium almost every weekend or just off. I think I'm third in points right now. I'm happy with that, but I would like to be doing a little better. I do have one moto win so far, but I still have 3 rounds to go and hopefully keep getting better. But
yeah, you're only 10 points down from Jess Pettis and third overall in points, just 1 or 2 points down from Sean Maffenbeyer. So all in all, pretty good. Like you said, through 6 rounds, you've got 4 overall podiums, and then your other 2 results are 4 and 6. So, man, you're really riding good. There's 3 rounds left, so it's looking pretty good for you. And how's that series been up there for you? I know you raced the last 3 rounds last year in America in our national series. How different is the series up there?
It's quite a bit different. It's a lot more laid back, you can put it. The racing, it just going up there, I don't feel like I have as much pressure. There's not as the races seem a little bit little, kind of almost like an amateur national more setting. Not quite as many people there, and the top few guys are really fast, but then it kind of drops off pretty quickly. Other than racing down here, the top 40 guys are fast. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of a change, and the tracks are not quite as great as down here. Some tracks are good, and then you get some that aren't the best in the world. But all in all, it's a good series, and definitely I think it's going to help me for when I get full-time down here in America, hopefully next year.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask that. So you're doing Canada now, but can we expect to see you in America next year, or are you everything set in place yet for 2019?
Yeah, right now I don't have anything set in place. My main goal is to race Supercross and then hopefully do the U.S. Nationals next year is my goal, but I haven't had any offers or anything right now, so just trying to keep plugging away and try to get some good results in. And I'm actually going to be racing Millville this weekend, so hopefully do good there and try to open some eyes in the American side of things and maybe get a deal for next year.
Yeah, definitely, man. And, just keep, focus on these next 3 rounds up in Canada and get some wins. And, it's going to look good if you can manage to jump 2 spots and get that championship. Obviously, that's going to look really good on your resume. We saw you at Southwick on a 350 in the 450 class. And, you just mentioned you're going to race Millville. Are you going to be on 350 or are you going to race your 250?
Yeah, I'll be back on my 350 this weekend. I did just pick up a new one yesterday from Championship. They gave me a deal on getting a new one, so I'll be on the practice bikes, be a little bit closer, I guess, but still 350, and yeah, should be good. Unfortunately, I wish I could race my race bike, my race 250, but it didn't work out. And actually, Southwick, I think, worked out a little better than I anticipated on that bike, so maybe more appealing to do this weekend, and maybe do Unadilla and Ironman also in the 450 class.
Yeah, I mean, you killed it, Southwick, in that
Sorry.
second moto. I'm not sure what happened in the first, the 29th, but the 12th in the second moto for 13th overall. I mean, on 350 in that deep sand, that's real impressive.
Yeah, thank you. The first moto, I got a really good start. I was like pretty good in the top 10, and I was pretty surprised being on the 350. And then I ended up crashing coming down the after the second turn, and got back up, got going again, and then crashed like three quarters of a lap later, and then tried catching up, but I wasted too much energy, and just I was spent pretty quick. And then that's I got the 29th, but at the second moto, I was didn't get quite as good a start, but I kept it, managed to keep it on two wheels that time, and just stay consistent, and was able to come away with the 12th, which I was pretty happy with.
Yeah, definitely, man. And you're from Michigan, so there's a lot of sand up there too.
Yeah, there's a few tracks around me that are pretty sandy, and I do like riding in the sand. Definitely, it is harder and wears you out more, I believe, but the tracks get a little bit rougher. But yeah, I do like playing in the sand, and it's just the track gets rough. You can find a flow, jump in the bumps, and stuff like that. It's fun to me.
Yeah, and I'm down here in South Florida, so sand's pretty much all we got too. And we had a rider, Tristan Lane, privateer. He went up and rode the 450 class at Southwick and did really well too. So I think it's more, a lot of just being comfortable in the sand is gonna help you out a lot, in my opinion. I mean, I'm nowhere near your level of a rider, but that's just what it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely sand is a different monster, and when you see every year at Southwick, you got dudes that don't like just maybe break in top 20 or can't even get top 20 show up in to get top 10 moto finish, or they're doing have a couple or good qualifying, or there's always local dudes that go really good there, and people that are like sand definitely is a different monster from the other stuff. And it's a brutal rough track, so if you can get a good flow there and are comfortable and able to stay relaxed and not wear yourself out, it's definitely good advantage to yourself, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And you were these I know Sandalese sand was Gopher Dunes is fairly sandy too, right? So you had a couple sand
Yeah,
races in a
Gopher.
row.
Yes, Sandalee was not as sandy. Like when I got there walking it seemed like it'd be pretty sandy, and then once race day came around, like three quarters of the track or probably half the track was pretty hard, and then the other half was kind of sandy, but it wasn't quite as much as Southwick. And then this last weekend, Gopher, that was just pure sand. There was really no base. It was just kind of endless sand, and definitely the track got really brutal and made it pretty difficult to stay relaxed and get your flow, like I was talking about. But no, it was good.
So during the week, are you staying up in Canada? Are you down at club? What's your system? What's your system during the week?
Since this before the season, I guess basically a month and a half for the season, so all I was really able to ride. But I was at club riding and training, and then once the season started, I came home and back in Michigan.
Okay.
And I'm fairly close to the border, so staying home, I'm still a bit closer to some of the races. The past 2 weekends, we actually drove to those races, and then also for flying out, I was driving to Canada and then flying. It's a little bit cheaper and easier to do it that way. So,
So you got some good guys you're riding with during the week, or is it just you?
mainly just me. There is Jerry Lorenz, local pro around here. He goes okay. Goes pretty good at times. I've been riding with him a little bit, but mostly it seems to end up being by myself, unfortunately. Actually, last week, I did get to ride with Cade Clayson. He came out and met me down in Southern Michigan. We got to ride. That was cool. So she's also trained at club, so
Awesome, man.
nice.
I'm sure it helps when you got some guys to ride with, that like you said with Clayson and Lorenz, rather than just riding by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. It makes it a lot better. And riding by yourself all the time kind of gets old, and you feel like you're going fast, but then, you don't really know until you got someone you're comparing yourself to, so that makes it keeps you in check, so to speak. So get to ride with some people sometimes. That down at club's nice because there's always, my teammate Osby's down there. He goes good, and Nicoletti just moved back to club, riding at club, and McAdoo and Stack. There's a lot of fast guys down at club, so there's no shortage of having guys to push here on the track, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely, man. I wanted to ask too, why the 350 opposed to 450?
Well, for me, like, for one, it was just such a last minute deal. I had a 350 for practicing on. It's more similar to a 250 than having a 450, and then the 350 is just lasts a lot longer. So originally why I bought the 350 was just for that, and then I was supposed to race have a race bike for those 2 rounds, but this the deal fell through for those for the American racing part of it. So then I decided to go to Southwick on that, and I went and raced that. And I feel like for me too, I'm only 135 pounds, so I'm pretty little kid. So being on the 350, it's enough for me. I don't. A 450, I think, would be a little too much for me to handle for 35 minutes. So the 350 is a little bit easier for me to ride, and I feel like I'm just as fast on a 350 as opposed to a 450. And for me,
Yeah, I was gonna say you clearly ride it very well, to get 12. So if it's working for you, then why not? I want to talk a little bit about your team. You're riding for the Club MX Redemption Racing. How'd that whole deal come about?
came about last started off last actually last beginning of the winter. It's kind of a last minute deal. Brandon from club and the Redemption Racing, the Canadian side, that team, they kind of decided to join forces and do Supercross, East Coast Supercross, and then the Canadian outdoors like they had originally planned. So I was supposed to race East Coast with them, but I unfortunately came home for the holidays, New Year's, and Christmas, and ended up tearing my ACL snowboarding. So I wasn't able to get to ride Supercross, but then they did offer me to come race Canada for the summer, and luckily I was able to get back about a month and a half before the first round riding, and so I was able to go up and be racing over the summer, so.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause I was at Tampa MX and I remember seeing 'cause I by the way I love the way your guys' bikes look. They look so bitchin' with the blue that blue and orange look so good together. So it definitely
Thank you.
caught my eye and then I saw the 95 and I was like, "Oh, that's Joey Crown." And then you weren't practicing or anything. I think this was Tampa, so it might have been the second round. And I couldn't figure out why and then I actually actually saw I think it was one of your Instagram posts that you got hurt, but I wasn't so sure how. So man, that's a bummer. Didn't even do it on a dirt bike.
Yeah, I know. I came home for like 2 weeks, and I was like, I figured New Year's Eve, I'm like going home or going back to club in 2 weeks. I snowboard and stuff. I sadly like kind of extreme stuff for hobbies, but definitely taking that down a notch and decided to go up north. A couple of my friends, snowboarding in before I head south, and yeah, ended up not working out too good. And the coming in together with a tree, and the tree won, and I lost. And it was pretty frustrating at myself, and I mean, it was, and that I ruined my just. Plans for Supercross and everything, but I guess you live, you learn, and definitely now I don't think I'm going to be snowboarding for until I retire racing motocross, because I definitely don't want to be sitting out doing something like that again. So I started playing golf and racing a little bit RC cars, a little bit safer, and I'll hopefully shouldn't get hurt doing that.
Yeah, I was gonna say it seems like all the guys that train down here in Florida pretty much golf and go on the boat. Probably a little safer than snowboarding.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to talk a little bit about your amateur career? You're top amateur, man. I heard your name a lot growing up, and I definitely saw you out the Daytona Amateur Supercrosses and all that. How was your last year at Loretta's? We saw you turn pro at Unadilla last year and put in some top 15 results for the last three outdoors. How was your amateur career?
It was pretty solid. I had quite a few amateur titles. I unfortunately had quite a few injuries also. Kind of hindered myself with getting a good ride, I believe, going into pro, and that, or a lot of my competitors that I raced over the years, you know, the top rookies that turned pro the past 2 years, of all the guys that I've raced with and battled with for championships, and they all got full rides, and I'm kind of battling for scraps, unfortunately. But it was solid. And the last year at Loretta's, I end up coming out over there with second in open pro sport. And then I got, I believe, third and 250A. So pretty happy with that. Fortunately, I mean, I wanted to at least get a moto win in there and battle with Cooper a little bit. But he was definitely going good. And as you could see, first round, ended up getting second in the second moto. And, you know, this year he's been winning motos and doing really good. But, yeah, it was solid. And my the last few pro rounds weren't as good as I would have liked, but they were still solid. I was able to get enough points to get a national number 95, so I was happy with that.
Yeah, definitely, man. We had a Challen Tennant on the show a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to him, man. Seems like the last few years there's so many, you know, good talent coming out of Loretta's and stuff each year that guys like yourself who are very deserving of a ride, they're just not available, you know, and it's insane. It seems like, you know, five or six guys each year come out and they're, you know, kicking ass.
Yeah, it's definitely like Challen is another kid that, you know, it seemed like me, Challen, Austin Fortner, Chase Sexton, Sean Cantrell, and Mosman. I mean, there's a lot of guys, Fortner, like we were all battling, it seemed like, for championships, and we're all in the mix. And I mean, a few, Fortner definitely, he was a kind of a little more consistent of doing good, you know, and winning races and stuff, where I was inconsistent, and it just Challen and I were the two that kind of got left out to dry and wasn't able to get a good ride when we turned pro. And now we're trying to fight our way to on a spot, but difficult because there's so many past top guys, you know, like that are still in the 250 class that have been in there for so long. And then you got all of us young kids coming in too, and we're running out of space in that 250 class. Like the last few weekends ago, I was counting how many factory bikes there were, and there was like 18 of them out there. It was crazy to think that there's that many rides or that many fast guys that have those rides, and guys like me and Challen still don't aren't on those lists, and so definitely difficult in the sport for sure.
Yeah, it's insane. I think you see that too with like some of these teams like going to five riders even now, just because there is so much talent. So I mean, the only, I guess you just got to keep working hard and keep it up, and obviously you're gonna get noticed. You know, running 10 points behind first place in the Canadian National Series is a good way to do it too. So you know, good things come. So guys like you, Challen, Rammer Alves, he's from my hometown. You know, all you guys are so deserving of these rides. So it's being there and can you just keep chugging.
Yeah, just keep working hard. And my main goal is just being healthy and trying to build, especially this year, I think just getting back racing and trying to build and improve and come out swinging for next year and hopefully land a start out with a good fill-in ride or something, or land some sort of good ride to build off of.
Yeah,
definitely keep plugging away.
Yep, definitely, man. All right, before I let you go, man, who do you want to thank for getting you to all the races and just helping you out?
I'd like to give up the Lord first, and then my parents, mom and dad, done a lot for me, and sisters, can't forget them, and the whole Colomax Redemption Racing team. What else is there? Fly gear, Shoei helmets, Oakley goggles, Mobius braces, Garnet, Giant bicycles, YSD, Guts Racing, Hoosier Tire, and the list is huge. I don't forget anyone, but yeah, I think that's a pretty solid list there.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, good luck this next weekend, or is this weekend now? I don't even know what my days are. Good luck this weekend at Spring Creek, and then good luck at those last two rounds, man. And I'll be pulling for you, man. Thank you again for doing this.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
Have a good day, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right, on the line with me right now is Mini Ripper Jack Chambers. What's up, man?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing good, bud. How about you? What are you up to today?
I'm just out here at Orlando MX Park, trying to get some training in before we start testing on some new bikes for Loretta.
You know, getting some nice sweat in that 100-degree Florida weather.
Oh yeah. So just coming back from France, the France weather is like nice, no humidity, like 70 degrees. Coming back to like 103 degrees with 100% humidity here, it sucks.
Yeah, I'm
But
sure.
that's what Loretta's gonna be like, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you kind of get that advantage training down in Florida because it's just as hot up in Tennessee. But hey, I wanted to actually talk to you about France. You went over there for the MX Master Kids, brought home a gold medal. How was that?
Yeah, that was awesome. I went there last year, and we ended up not racing the gold main due to some kid having an injury. But this year, I was glad to come back and race and get the team the gold medal. I ended up getting second, but I mean that's not bad to a European national champion over there. But so I did pretty good.
So how did that whole deal come about? How did you get, selected to go over there?
Well, Conrad Eigemann and Greg Brodman are like two of they are the team managers, and my dad's known Conrad for a while, and Conrad's just been watching me ride, and he had went over there with Colton for the last 10 years or so, and asked me if I wanted to come last year, and I was like, sure, I'll go over there and see what we can do, and we got the bikes over there, or they actually provided bikes for us. And yeah, it was a cool time last year. Like I said, we didn't get to race the Gold Main. It was still an awesome experience, though.
Yeah, definitely sounds cool, man. And that track looked pretty gnarly. It looked pretty hard pack over there.
Oh yeah, it's like racing on concrete with a little bit of sand on top of it. When you go down, it's like a cheese grater. Just cuts you all up.
Did I see that you got second in one of, I guess it was like a heat race with a flat tire?
Yeah, I was running the whole moto with a flat tire. First lap, I was running and battling with the European kid, and ended up getting a flat tire and losing a few seconds a lap, but I held on to second.
So who is like your biggest competition over there? What other countries were good?
Where there was Holland, France, obviously, which is like their home race, and there were so many countries I can't even remember, but Holland was probably the biggest competition, and there was 27 countries I think competing there,
Oh wow.
and like twice as many teams actually competing. But yeah,
That's awesome, man. It's pretty cool how you get to, travel the world, racing your dirt bike. It's like a dream come true, I'm sure.
for sure.
All right, well, jumping ahead here, Loretta's is coming up here in a few weeks. Like you said, you're out there training today, getting your prep in. What classes are you riding this year?
This year I'm riding Super Mini 1 and Super Mini 2.
So who's gonna be who's what are some names like your biggest competition you got?
Probably Nate Thrasher, which he's a Tennessee kid. Maybe some California kids, Josh Burries, Max Volland. Hopefully this year I can go there and show the Cali kids what's up, and hopefully come home with a win.
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. Last year you got sixth in mini senior, so good job on that. And you've been, steadily improving every year. Well, I think what a lot of people don't know about you is you weren't always a moto kid growing up. You pretty much were just hair scrambles until
Yep.
what, five years ago you started taking the motocross stuff more seriously.
Yeah, I mean, most of the other kids have a jump start on me with all the sponsors and connections and social media and stuff. They've been doing this motocross thing for since they were 4 or 5 years old, and they started getting followers and sponsors, and and everyone's looking at them, and then I come in the picture and no one really knows who I am. So this year at Loretta's, hopefully I can go there and show them who I am, and then they'll all be talking about me.
Yeah, definitely. So do you feel like, you know, just your background riding, you know, kind of an hour and a half in the woods helps you out at Loretta's with the longer motos, because most amateur races aren't usually 20 minutes long, and then it gets super ruddy and gnarly. So I would assume that, you know, the hair scramble stuff helps out.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I was saying, I'm sure the hair scramble stuff helps out, you know, having a woods background because of the longer motos at Loretta's and the rough track.
Yeah, the hour and a half definitely helps, but the downside to that is in hair scrambles, you go an hour and a half at 90% to make it all the way through. But for motocross, you're going 20 minutes at 120% as hard as you can ever go. So, I mean, yeah, the roughness of the wood trails and comparing to motocross helps, but it's kind of a negative on the trails helping motocross.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the mindset you have to have. You can't win it in the first turn, but you can definitely lose it at a hair scramble or in a motocross.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. I feel like with hair scramble, you can't be full intensity the whole time, kind of what you're getting at. But, yeah, I can definitely see that for sure.
Yep.
So, is this going to be your last year on minis, or you have one more after this? How old are you now, man? Yeah. I feel like you're 20 years old.
I'm 15. Yeah, this year's my last year on super minis and little bikes. A few months ago, I had started driving a 125 just to get used to it because I didn't know how much I was going to grow before Loretta's. So we were trying to see if I needed a backup. But we just stuck with it. And there's actually kids that are taller than me that are still on super minis. But I'm like 5'7". So, yeah, Loretta's is probably going to be my last race on super minis unless – I don't grow before like Monster Cup.
Yeah, true. Well, your dad's pretty tall, so I feel like you're gonna keep growing.
Yeah.
Oh, so is Monster Cup the plan if you're still on minis?
Yeah, for sure. I really want to go to Monster Cup, and last year I got invited, but we just didn't have enough time to get everything ready and get a bike out there and get to ride because it was like 2 weeks before or a week ahead of time.
Yeah, and you're on the opposite side of the country, which doesn't really help being from Florida.
Yeah.
All right, so I obviously, you know, winning is the goal going into Loretta's, but what would you be happy with if you can't win? And what are some goals, I guess, or the base where you want to be at?
I would definitely want to be top five every single moto that I'm out there because consistency at Loretta's for three motos is key. If you go out there and win two motos and get a DNF or a 40th place one moto, you're pretty much done because with over 20 points, you're not going to be in the top five. So, yeah, I'm just hoping to stay in the top five and most likely or hopefully get some top three finishes and just stay consistently up there.
Yeah, definitely, man. That you know, I have the results pulled up now, and definitely the consistency thing is key. I just see Nate Thrasher last year in the mini class went 191 for third overall, you know, so definitely yep. the three motos kind of, you know, plays a part in there. So it's definitely probably one of the bigger things.
Yeah, for sure.
So talking a little bit about your prep for Loretta's, kind of had a little hiccup there at the Daytona Ricky Carmichael Supercross. Talk about what happened there with your crash.
It was kind of a dumb, stupid mistake that I made in the air. I was watching the faster guys on 250s and 450s go through the rhythm section and do triple. I'm like, well, if they can do it and it's like super, it looks really easy to me, I'm like, I got to do that. So I went out and practiced, and I sized it up first lap. Second lap, I came around. I did triple. I did it clean for four laps. I was the only one doing it. And the fifth lap, I came around. I let a few guys by just to, like, just follow their lines and stuff. And I sliced up inside of them. I did the triple. And when I brake tapped, the bike stalled in the air. I landed with no power and just ended off the next triple. And ended up popping my hip out of the socket. Kind of dumb, feels stupid to crash in practice, but I mean, if that's the way it goes, that's the way it goes, and I'm glad to be 100% now and back riding. And even though I missed spring nationals and could have showed what I had then, but we just had to wait till Loretta's this year.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, like you said, it was, you feel dumb because it was in practice, but you know, that's just, you know, how motocross goes. But hey man, you know, I remember I didn't get to see it, but my dad was there. He saw it, and at the beginning, it kind of, they thought it might be worse than it was. So, and I was thinking maybe you'd miss Loretta. So it's good that, you know, you're able to make a quick recovery. And you know, talking about missing the spring nationals, hey man, you never know, that could keep you fresh for Loretta's, or something else could happen at spring nationals. So you never really
know. Yeah, exactly. It all happens for a reason.
Yeah, definitely. So without giving away all your secrets, man, what's your training program looking like? Who are you riding with, and where are you riding?
I got in contact with Justin Boyd at GPS. He is actually my fitness trainer right now, and he's given me all the workouts to do and everything that to keep me up to a fitness level. And other than that, I'm training with Dean Dias at Orlando MX Park. Sometimes we go to Wildwood, we'll ride at my house. But he's really helping me in confidence, and just boosting everything that I can just to be better on the bike. So Dean is a big role in everything that I do right now.
Yeah, that's awesome to have, you know, like such a good a strict kind of, not schedule, but like a regimen that you have, just to keep you focused. Coming in, what's it, 3 weeks now, Loretta's? 2 or 3 weeks away? 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's 15 days or something like that.
Gotcha. Well,
but yeah.
All right, Jack, before I let you go, man, who do you want to thank for helping you out and getting you to the races?
There's a lot of people. I like to thank Tom Swimming with TF Racing Suspension, Liat, Gizmo Mod, Dean Dodge 55, which is his racer development, HPD Graphics, Base Sport Cycles, Justin Boyd, No Toy Industries, which is Air Filters, Pit Posse, Scott, FMF. That's pretty much it.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for doing this with me, and good luck at Loretta's in a couple weeks. We'll have to get you on the show after to see how you did.
Thank you.
All right, see you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, on the line with me right now is Kentucky's own Michael Akiden. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good, man. Just ready to get this thing going. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
No problem. Yeah, I don't mind doing it at all. I enjoy these.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, to start, we usually see you out there roughing it in these outdoor nationals for 30 plus two. Twice, but this year you took a little different approach, and you're working with the Ty Lube Honda team. How's that going?
So far it's going pretty good. It's my first time going to the races and not actually racing, so it's definitely different for me. But I had a shoulder injury literally like 3 days after the Vegas Supercross. I was on a turn track and just fell over on turn track after racing the Supercross, and my shoulder's kind of been jacked up since then, and I actually had an MRI today, so we'll see kind of what's going on there.
Man, that's such a bummer that the way, you know, like you said, on turn track, you're out there for 17 rounds, you know, hitting these crazy jumps and on these hard rhythm sections, then you fall over on a turn track and you get hurt. Man, that's just the way it works sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, and I actually had a pretty rough Supercross season to begin with, so I really needed some time off, and so kind of hurt my shoulder was a way to make me have time off, I guess. So it's not a horrible thing. Definitely want to get it fixed and get back out there, but I haven't ridden in about 2 months besides a little bit, just cruising here or there. So it's been a good break, but kind of getting antsy now, ready to kind of get back out there and twist the throttle.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, hey, at least you get to still be around at the races. How'd that whole deal come about with you guys, with the Ty Lube team?
Yeah, so it's actually a pretty sweet deal for me. The Ty Lube Honda team is kind of based out of Louisville, Kentucky, or just south of there. And I know the guy real well that runs it, Buddy Brooks. And so he's run the show, and the only way he would let the rig on the road is if if it came back to Louisville every week, which is kind of perfect for me. So, so I leave on Wednesdays or Thursdays, and, you know, I'll set up, we drive there, we set up, I help the guys with whatever they need Saturday and tear down and drive home. And, then I do a little bit of work at the shop during the week. And, but Buddy and this other guy, Jordan, do most of the tearing bikes down during the week. So, it's been pretty cool. And, definitely looking forward to possibly working with him in the future.
Yeah, man, that's definitely a really cool deal and all that. We actually had Lorenzo Licurcio on the show just after Southwick, and he's been killing it this year. Unfortunately for him, he kind of got banged up at Redbud. And then Van Martinger, your other rider, right?
Yep, we got Lorenzo and Van. We were going to have Matt Bishelia, but he got hurt the week before he's going to start racing. So kind of a bummer for Matt, and we're hoping he heals up pretty good, though.
Yeah, I saw that. That is a bummer, man. It seems like he's had a rough go about it with injuries, and we've seen what he can do outdoors on a 450, too. You know, I remember probably, what, 2 or 3 years ago for RCH getting top 10s. So, man, it's a bummer deal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're a racer yourself, so you know how the sport goes, you know? That's how it goes.
Yep. Yeah, it really does, man. It sucks sometimes.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your 2018 Supercross season, but you kind of touched on injuries a little bit before the shoulder. Just like take us through that, I guess. How did it start, and what exactly happened with the injuries and whatnot?
Yeah, so this back in the fall, myself and Bubba Pauly started putting something together. We got TXS Productions on board, and we tried to have everything, you know, looking professional. And it's actually the first time I've ever had everything completed and ready to go before January. So it actually worked out really well, and I felt like I started off the season pretty good. The first three races were pretty good for me, at least. I think I had my best qualifying at A1 this year than I ever have before. So I definitely was feeling good and gelling with the bike and everything. And then at Phoenix, I just made a slight mistake and ended up having a compression fracture in my T12 vertebrae. So that was the first of the big injuries that I had this year. So that kept me off the bike for, four or five races. And then I came back in Atlanta and was a little bit skittish and didn't make the night show. And so I went to Daytona feeling good from riding all that week, and had another slight miscalculation. And I think my foot slipped off my foot peg and landing off a little step on, step off. And then, so I got launched and then broke two ribs, got knocked out, kind of a slight pneumothorax, punctured lung. And so that was my second one. So I had another week or two off there. So other than that, it was a good season, but that was half the season kind of gone right there. So it was a bit of a bummer for myself. But as far as the team goes, I've never had a really cool team put together the way that we did. And so I'm pretty pumped on how that all worked out.
Yeah, definitely. And man, you gotta love the sport of motocross, you know. Like you were just talking,
yep,
about your injuries and all that, man. I feel like most sports, with someone that has two big injuries like that in a season, man, they might be calling it quits, you know, hanging up the cleats or whatever. But us motocross riders are pretty hard-headed, and we just want to get right back out there.
Yeah, sometimes a little too hard-headed. So that's why I'm not too worried about being out for the summer, because my body needed a break. So so things are working out really good. I mean, honestly, for what it was, it's things are working out good.
You know, you talked about getting your team together with Bubba Pauly there. I noticed that Skills Gear you guys were in. That's just pretty cool. How'd you guys get set up with them?
Yeah, so they did a lot of cool stuff with us this year. Bubba rode for them last year, and then we started talking to him more. And obviously with a team deal, me and Bubba had to wear the same gear, so we chose Skills, and they did a lot of cool custom stuff for us. You know, we were two of their, I think they had four or five riders total, but we were two of their guys, and you know, he just catered to us with whatever we needed. He did, and it was cool for that. You know, with the other gear companies we've been with before, you know, we're at the bottom of the totem pole. We barely got anything, and then now with skills, we got whatever we needed, and so it was good. We got some custom stuff, and our jerseys were the dye sublimated jerseys with the name and number and sponsors in a jersey. So a lot of cool stuff there. You know, we were pretty pumped on all our gear.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, being a smaller gear company, I guess you want your stuff to stick out a lot, and that's what they did, man. That stuff is really cool. That Vegas gear was really cool. And then were they the ones who made the St. Louis Cardinals stuff for Bubba Poly? I guess that was last year in 17. That was cool.
Yeah,
stuff too.
Yeah, that was last year. No, so that was pretty cool. He does just, you know, he like I said, he just caters to us and whatever we want. You know, if we have an idea for a certain race, he's like, yeah, let's do it. So that's what I really liked about it.
Yeah, well, it was working. It definitely caught my attention. So, you know, while you're racing, traveling all the time, you're full-time working too, aren't you?
Yeah. With the gig this summer, I actually, put my 2 weeks in for the plumbing contractor job that I had. So, but yeah, while I was racing, you know, it wouldn't be abnormal to put in, 32 hours every week. I used to put in 40 hours and then go racing, but last year I quit doing that just because I was just, you know, getting to the race at 3 a.m. and then up at 7. And so, but yeah, I mean, other than when I'm not racing, 40 hours a week, you know, overtime and everything. But, so yeah, you know, I got to make it happen. I don't mind working hard.
Yeah. Were you riding during the week at all when you're working for, even 32 hours a week or just
working? So for the first 6 races of the series, we stay in California. So those 6 weeks, I use as my way to build myself up, you know, build my speed up, build my endurance up. Because all through November and December, when all these guys are out training and riding and stuff, I'm stuck in Kentucky, cold Kentucky working. So I use the first 6 races to really build everything up. And then once we come back east, that's when I work 2, 3, or 4 days a week. And, yeah, so we go that way.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do to go racing, right?
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Did I read that you have your MBA as well?
Yeah. So that's another part of it's really kind of what helped shape my work ethic is schooling and having another job besides motocross. But my parents really pushed me in school. They said, if you're not getting good grades and going to school, you're not racing. So I loved racing that much to where I kicked my butt in school and got a full scholarship to college and got an engineering degree, mechanical engineering. And then I went back on and got my MBA online as well.
Man, that's awesome. I'm actually doing my master's right now. I don't know how in the hell you managed to do that and go racing for pro supercross racing. That's unreal.
It was tough. And, you know, I had zero social life, didn't ever turn a TV on. So it was either schoolwork or, dirt bikes. That's all my life was for a good 4 years or so.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, where'd you take classes at?
University of Louisville. They have a really good program for engineering.
Awesome. That's cool, man. That's awesome. And, you know, it probably helps you too, you know, like, knowing that when you're done, whenever racing is done for you, you have your MBA to fall back on. You know, I'm sure a lot of guys don't. So they kind of have to figure it out, and you kind of don't have to really worry so much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm pretty fortunate that my parents pushed me that way. So yeah, I mean, I have a plan B or, you know, a plan for after racing. So, and I feel kind of bad for some of the guys that don't. You know, I hope they aren't, you know, absolutely killing themselves racing and then have nothing afterward. But yeah, my parents were pretty strict with that. So that's the way I had to go.
Yeah, but, you know, strict or not, it's going to pay off for sure. Let's take it back quite a ways here. How'd you get into motocross? How'd you start riding?
My dad got us into it. My dad always wanted to as a kid, never could. And then he had us four. I got 3 brothers, so there's 4 boys. And so this 1 year, my dad said, hey, we're going to do this. And so my dad, my mom, and all 4 of us boys started racing. Kind of crazy, but yeah, there's 6 of us, six-member family, and then everybody went racing. Obviously, we didn't do it every weekend like I do now, but it was, you know, once a month, we would all I'll load up and go. And I'm the one that stuck with it the most. You know, I loved it the most. And I got a little brother that's into it some, and he does a little bit of pro racing. So, but yeah, it's something that I loved from the very beginning, and I knew it's what I wanted to do. And I've, you know, kind of worked my butt off to get there. So.
Yeah. I was going to ask, at what point did you realize that you're going to go pro with this?
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, as soon as I rode, I was like, that's exactly what I want to do.
Hey man,
no doubt about it.
With your work ethic, with working full time and going to school, man, it, you know, it's no surprise that you made it happen.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I know it's pretty rare having a degree or two in racing Supercross, but, you know, I'm also from the city, so I don't even have a track in my house, and it's really pretty cool that I was able to get where I got from what I had. So I'm kind of proud of it. You know, I don't speak about it a whole lot, but I'm proud of it, and I'm just glad my parents kind of showed me how to work hard and pushed me to work hard, and that's kind of where I got.
And you turned pro in, it looks like, 09 here. How was your amateur career, coming up?
Pretty non-existent. I never did. I went to Loretta's one or two times. I went on a 50 and then not again until the A class. So, you know, I really wasn't racing a whole lot back growing up. But as soon as I started driving, that's when I really started to take off. So, so yeah, as far as amateurs, I just did Loretta's twice and then never went to any other amateur nationals, but, you know, just rode locally until I got my license.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a way to go about it. It's cool to see, you know, some of the guys who grew up in the spotlight in amateur career, and then they sort of fizzle out or, you know, early on in their pro career. And then, you know, guys like you and I know like Adam Enticknap and Alex Ray didn't have any, you know, spectacular amateur careers either. And, you know,
right,
they're out there racing, you know, now while these other kids are kind of fizzling out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of weird. There's all kind of different paths everybody takes. So,
yeah.
Some start out strong and fizzle out, and then some start out non-existent and make something of themselves. So it's cool. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I kind of think it helps out in the long run, you know, since you weren't at the track every single weekend with all this pressure, you know, training for all those amateur nationals, like now, you know, I think your career can go longer just because you enjoy it more. And, you know, it wasn't so much of a job when you were growing up, you know, as it is now. You can only have it as a job for so long, I feel.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for not wearing yourself out or burning yourself out when you're a kid. So, yeah, I mean, really, when I was little growing up, you know, I had three brothers, and, you know, motocross was my main thing I focused on, but I hardly did it, to be honest with you. You know, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, I don't know, but we did a lot of cool stuff, you know, other stuff. You know, I played soccer, and, you know, we had anything that we did, you know, we were all four of us were really close in age, and we just did a bunch of cool stuff. So I got to experience a lot of things growing up besides racing, to where now I can just, you know, focus on racing and go at it full force.
Yeah, man, definitely. So do you feel like you're a better Supercross rider or outdoor rider?
For sure, Supercross. That's what I focus on. If I was to focus on outdoors, I wouldn't be able to make enough money to keep going. So Supercross is definitely where you can actually make money in Supercross. With outdoors, at my speed right now, you can't make money. You can just make enough to get to the next race. But with Supercross, you can come away with some money if you're smart and you make the right choices during the season. So definitely Supercross for me.
Yeah, it definitely seems like Supercross is a lot easier on the privateer too. You know, just the bikes don't seem to get as worn out, and like you said, you make more in Supercross, and you're not doing
exactly
so much motor work and all that. So, definitely.
Yeah, but at the same time, I absolutely love going out for 35 minutes and destroying myself. I mean, anybody who races pro motocross knows that you're going to suffer out there, so you have to enjoy the suffer. And so I almost love doing that more than anything, but you just can't make the money at it.
Yeah. Hell, I've raced amateur days after pro nationals. I've been suffering for three laps. You know, I couldn't imagine for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. They're rough, man.
Yeah. I think High Point was probably the roughest one I've done. I've done High Point Muddy Creek and Redbud. I think High Point's probably the worst with all those ruts.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's always rough there.
But I'm also a Florida boy with no hills down here, so that could be it too.
Yeah. Yep. Good thing.
Well, all right, man. Thank you so much for doing this for me, and you know, good luck for your team at Millville this weekend.
Yeah, dude, I appreciate it. If you ever make it to any of the races, let me know. Come by and say hi. I'll be in the red shirt and the red hat with the red truck.
Sounds good, buddy. You enjoy the rest of your night.
All right. You too, Kurt. Thanks.
See you. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game.
Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 1 million reasons to get out, choose one, there's only one. To put the 9mm to your dome, then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Straight.